Good morning, Wind Dallas! How are y'all today? Let us all gather here in the front. Come closer to the stage, please. Okay, before we start, we're gonna pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just wanna thank you for the day that you have made, Lord God, that you've allowed us, Lord God, that you've given us freedom to worship you, to sing praises to you, to express, Lord God, our worship and praises to you. So Lord God, we just want to pray that you bless this service, Lord God. Open our hearts, touch our hearts, Lord God. And may we listen to your word, Lord God. May you use the preacher, Lord God, to be your instrument as you listen to your word, Lord. So just want to sing praises to you. And we're going to go, Lord God. We're going to surrender our hearts to you today. We're giving it all. We
There's no end to the love that he gives. And now broken dreams have life again. In the hope of a risen king, let us praise him.
A mystery,
a mystery.
Once again, we want to thank you, Lord, for the freedom, Lord God, that you've given us, Lord. That, Lord God, you've set us free, Lord God, from the bondage of sin, Lord God. And we cannot wait, Lord God, till we meet you face to face, Lord, to stand in all, Lord God, of your presence, Lord. Lord, we can't wait, Lord God, as we stand, Lord, and be in awe, Lord God, to see you, Lord, to sing, Lord, to sing, worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he.
sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation now sing praise to the King of Kings.
Holy are you, O God. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Father, we honor you today, O God. No matter what we see, no matter what is going on in the world, O Lord God, we know you reign. We know you reign forever and ever. Father, we worship you and we praise you, O Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, because we are worshiping the one and only living God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, O Lord. Great is the Lord God Almighty, who sits on the throne on high. Holy and worthy is his name. We praise you, Lord. We honor you today. And we celebrate your name, O God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Good morning. Good morning, Windalas. How are you today? Yeah, let me ask someone to please pass the basket. As we continue to honor him with our tithes and offering, and also for our prayers for the youth and Pastor Lucian and the rest who will be accompanying the youth, let us offer our prayers to the Lord God on high. And as we give up our tithes and offering, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you so much, O Lord God. We know, Lord God, we don't belong here. We don't stand before you, Lord God, if not because of your blood, because of the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, who cleansed us, who justifies us, O Lord God, and sanctified us. You separated us from this world, O God. And this world, Lord, we do not belong to this world anymore. We belong to you, Father. And we acknowledge, Lord God, everything belongs to you. Even this journey, Lord God, this trip that our youth, Lord God, will be going to, Father God, we know, Lord, although they travel the road that belongs to this world, Father, they offer, Lord, their lives to you, O God, through this mission trip, Lord God. This is not for them, but this is for you, Lord, to glorify you and to make everyone know that we worship the one and living God. Father, we just thank you for all the blessings you have given us. Once again, we return to you, Lord God, everything that we have, everything that we possess. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Pastor Lucian.
I heard that you guys had a good time at the zoo. Good. And then Chris told me his experience, so don't get grossed out about what I'm about to say, okay? So Chris and I actually saw each other at Walmart, and so I asked him, hey, so how was it? And he goes, so we started talking, and he said, what was the one thing that actually stood out? And he goes, yeah, you know, there was this monkey. And what he did was he was just relaxing. And he scratched his butt and then went like this. That's Chris. But he actually, the other thing that he enjoyed the most was he actually saw the water part because it was very hot. And he enjoyed it. And that was great. I'm glad that the families who was able to go really truly enjoyed themselves. Couple things. Number one, the Bible very clearly says the man, whatever the man soweth, what's the other word? That's what they're going to reap. Well, you'd hear that again. Whatever the man soweth, that's what they're going to reap. Last week, I was speaking about three phases as I teach the Word of God. One is what beliefs, then a decision, then the outcome. Generally, the outcome, we have no actual output, meaning we don't do the outcome. We wait on the outcome. And last week, as I'm going to ask our brother John to prepare the Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, I want him. We're going to read it one more time, and then we're going to close it off, and kind of gather this all together, and then put it into an application. Why don't we do this first with a word of prayer? Father, Lord, we just thank you and praise you. Thank you for allowing us to hear your word. Use me, Father, as conduit to clearly communicate your word. Help us to have an attentive ear to this, Father. We know that whatever we hear, Father, whatever we put input into our lives, we pray that it's not just from head knowledge, but it goes from the head knowledge to the heart. And from the heart, Lord, we see the results by our action. So we pray, Father, that as we learn to read your word, as we learn to decipher your word, Father, we know that nothing is hidden from us. Everything is revealed. We must obey. That's all what you're asking. And Father, the outcome of that, Father, we know that it is you who will make our path straight. So we pray, Father, today that we would learn something from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to ask Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And I'm going to read this. And again, if you could give me your attention, we're going to go really quickly through this. I want to do some application. And then I want Pastor Ed is going to, I'm going to ask him to come up here. And then when we do the young people this coming week, the missions trip, you may not see them. And when they come back, they're probably going to be, I don't think so, but I'm not sure. But you're going to see them darker. So you may probably say, whose kid is that? Can't get any darker than that. Oh, you prayer. And by the way, didn't you guys get the memo? It was a dress down Sunday. Okay. Okay. Thank you. See? He's the only one who got the memo. Okay, Titus chapter 2. And if you want to take some notes, there are very simple things that I want you to remember so that you can kind of bring it back to your own personal life and utilize it. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husband and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husband, and to subject, I don't know if it's to be subject to their husband, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them as an example. Set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. There are a couple principles. First of all, what is it that is clearly being taught in the Word of God? So if you go back to the very first verse, John, it says teaching is very important. Preaching is not. Teaching is the most important. It is a way of life. Number two, not only teaching is important, but teaching the right things are more important. And it isn't just by saying this is what everybody believes, but it is what the Bible believes. Today, recently, I just want to say this outrightly. You know that the new LGBTQ, I don't know what Q is. Do you guys know what Q is?
Queer.
Queer? Okay. So I saw that in the one of the flags. I said, okay, they're adding more acronyms to their letters. So I didn't know what Q meant. But the recent Supreme Court has now introduced that marriage is between anybody. So I want you to understand that teaching is important. Not only that, but recently I just read in Yahoo that they said, now that it's been passed, there is so many Christians that agree that they should allow same-sex marriage. So I want you to know that. And I was reading these articles, and it was strange for me. Because at the end of this, they know what the Bible says, but they're now saying, no, that's... And you know what they based it on? They based their foundation on the word love. Now, love is important. I'm not denying that. Because Christ came down to do to show his love for us. But I got to be honest with you, the Bible very clearly says there's a holiness factor, a sin factor. And God made it very clearly that what? That in Romans 1, I want you to read that. I'm not going to go into it deep. But that men and women is one of those lists that God says is sin. Now, if you don't believe that, that's going to be between you and God. I know I believe it. But now we're seeing the evolution of Christianity compromising because on the banner of unification and unity, irregardless of sin type and their lifestyle, they don't want to change, but they want to accept them because we should show love. Have you ever heard the song called the Beatles? All we need is
love.
Love, love, love. Okay, that's enough. Okay. The Bible is very important that you must manifest it. Now, last week, our emphasis was towards the men, but this emphasis is also throughout everybody. And then I broke it down that teaching, while teaching is important, there are three aspects of teaching. The very first one was what? You taught? No, that's okay. Thank you for... I love her, okay? Because she tried. No one else tried. Okay. There's the taught. That's informational. And then the next one is when you caught. And that's somebody modeling it for you. But where we want to go to is what? You bought it. And generally, people... And look at this events that we just transpired. Just as an example. Again, the gay marriage and the Confederate flag and all these issues are coming to the forefront. Something generally will trump what you know is to be true. If even if you believe like teaching is true, trusting in God is true, all of that is true. And we use the analogy or the verse called Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Some event in our lives generally will trump our beliefs. And that's why we do that. So remember my assignment to you guys last week? My assignment was, what is it that is in your life that is so hurtful that you cannot trust God? I asked you guys to think about that. Because the key to doing, to unleashing that distrust was what? You guys remember I shared one thing last week. Starts with an F. Forgiveness. It must begin... I'm sorry, I saw JC. I'm not going to go there, JC. Okay, so what it is forgiveness. You need to be able to forgive one another. Is that part of a teaching in God's Word? Yes, because he did what? He showed grace. He forgave us. How many times did Jesus say to the disciples, to Peter, how many times should I forgive somebody? 70 times 7. You mean in a year? No, he said on a daily basis. So it is very difficult. Basically, he says you should be able to forgive somebody constantly, always. Is it hard? Yeah, I think it's hard. There's still some people that I haven't seen in a long time, and honestly, when we don't forgive, our kids hear it. And what do? We talk bad about them. Don't you? You talk bad about that individual. You will. Because by very nature, because you want to always say, I want to have the upper hand. I want to look good. And you say, you know, I've forgiven them. And then you talk about it again. Haven't you ever been in that situation? And so there are some hurtful things that prevents us from trusting God, trusting people, trusting relationships, even though God says what? Trust in who? The Lord. But it's hard because there was a hurtful thing that you have been in the past. Have you guys reconciled that? I need to know that. I'm throwing that phrase out there. You need to know that. You need to come to the point that you have been able to reconcile that with your God. Because until then, you'll probably say, I trust you, Lord, but... And so we go on. So there are three levels: being taught, being caught, and being bought. So what are some of the decisions that are being made? I'm going to talk only about the men. And men, I want the ladies to listen into this because it also is a part of you. Number one, can you go to the next verse, John? Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and endurance. So I'm going to share this real quick. During that time, people got drunk a lot in the area that this church was being taught. They were drunkards. So they were also infiltrating the church. So what he was saying to these people is basically saying this: you got to get out of this and don't let the drinking control you, but let the Spirit control you. Have you ever been in this situation before where you feel like, you know, I keep going back to that same sin over and over and over. I just don't have control. And, you know, and there are times where we come to the point where it says, you know what, bahala na lang, I'm just going to keep doing it. Can I tell you something? Sin is great. It is. Actually, it's a great feeling to do it. I want you to know that. Sin is actually great for a temporary. That's why Satan wouldn't have made it, he wouldn't have gotten you to do it if you didn't like it. That's why we continue to keep going back to it. Have you ever heard of in Proverbs that a dog goes back to its vomit? Now that sounds gross. And not only does he just go back to it, what does he do? He eats it. Now, how many of you guys ever think about that? But I'm going, okay, that's a true point of regurgitating the food. But I wouldn't want to spit it out and eat it, spit it out, eat it, and spit it out. I would rather be a cow, honestly, where it stores in his right pocket. And he brings it back up, chews a little bit, gets the juices, pushes it back into his stomach, and a couple weeks later, takes it out again and does it. I would see how gross it is, but we do that. We go back to the things that makes us sick. Worthy of respect. Man, you got to take your faith seriously. You can't make it in a, what do you call that? Whenever the opportune time. Whenever I need God, I'm going to do it. So what does it mean take seriously? You got to spend time with his word. So we talked about temperate. We talked about worthy of respect. Self-control. I want you to hear this. Is act your life as a saved man. Act the way if you were saved. Now, there's some of us struggle with that because, well, how do I know if I'm saved? That's a really strange question to me. Like I told you, my mom and I had a conversation as if it's a mystery. You know, we try to figure out the word and we say, I don't know what it looks like to be saved, but the word of God really clearly says it already. What did it say in the fruits here in Galatians? By their fruits you shall know them, right? And what is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit, love. Do we demonstrate love? Number two, sound in faith. The mature man, and I jumped onto it, it's called must be grounded in the word. What is it that you're grounded in, men? Sports? Sorry, man, Rick. I'm sorry, the latter went that way. So, how about video games? Are you guys grounded in video games? Are you grounded in your career? Are you grounded in barcadas? Are you grounded on those and not in the Word of God? See, there are people who always say this to me, I don't have time for the Bible. Five hours later, I didn't have time for the Bible, man. Okay, you got to be grounded in the Word. I'm not going to push that because you already know that. Last thing. No, two more things. Sound in love. Strong love for God and His people. Struggle with this a lot, so I want you to know this. Because I got to be honest, you can really hate people. People who mess you up. If you were all honest, it's hard to love people, isn't it? Did you see in the YouTube today? I saw this great YouTube. This guy, robotics. It's and I know it's AI is coming in life now. But he would dance. He would do this. And that robot did exactly his motion. I mean, every bit of the motion that this guy did. He would turn and do this. And even the swinging of the hips. This robot mimicked exactly what this guy did. One day, relationships will be developed with robots rather than humans. Because what? Robots don't want to hurt people. Theoretically, they don't have any emotions. So they won't, it's almost as if, like a dog. Dog is faithful. That's why some ladies, I don't want to ruin your bubble, but some guys would rather have a dog. Because they are actually more faithful and loving to them without having them talk back and forth to them.
We would rather have a dog than a husband.
Okay, same thing, see? But I've never seen, and you want one of those lap dogs. But what God wants to emphasize here is that men, and I was talking to a guy at work, he goes, men must show love to their husband. I mean, to their wives. So the LGBT has got a hold of me, man. It is important that men... I better go to that other church over there that teaches that. But it is important that men, you must show and exercise your love for the women. And I realize how important that is. Because if you are showing that and you want them to respect you, they will respect you because of your love for them. You know, this is what this one guy says. And if women sees that, they were willing to subject. But if the woman doesn't see that, you won't get it. And if the man doesn't want to show love, what happens? There will never be, love will never demonstrate. And so you won't see that in your family. Last thing, sound in endurance. Await God's direction. Oh boy, this is a tough one. To wait on God. To show us what He needs. So those are some of the things that we see God very clearly says that He teaches us. Here are some of the things, men, you must do. Okay, teach and show them. And here are the things called integrity, reading God's word, showing them, showing love. You can decide to do that. And then here, the younger men. I want you to think the young men. I want you to listen up on this. And I don't know if there's an age group of what the young men. I believe this is what the Word of God says, young men. Young men who are not married. Okay? It says here, similarly, men, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. Why do you think He says that? Because you know why? And let me just say this. What it says is encourage means guys, fathers, you must come alongside and help them. Today I was actually asking the young men, because my goal this coming week is to see if they know anything about preparing for this mission. So I'm sorry, Christian. And yes, you too, Josh. So I asked them to go ahead. They have all these suitcases. And I told them, okay, you guys go ahead and put it up there and do whatever you guys got to do, but make that suitcase fit into those three vehicles. And so when I was watching them, I kind of looked at it, and I had this compartment in the top, and they take it down. And I looked at it, what in the world are they doing? So they took. I asked Rebecca, what is in your hand? Oh, it's that the compartment on the top. I said, why did they bring it down? Because they're going to put all the stuff in, and then they're going to carry it and load it on top. And I thought to myself, okay, I just said, I'm going to let them learn it. Come alongside, and I beg of you that that is where men might have to help because they've gone through it. And you know what you used? You used your sheer strength rather than the sheer brain. So what happens is young men, and I've been here not many, many moons ago, but my very first thing is young men are very impulsive. Man, I gotta go buy that car. So they go, I have only $500. What kind of car are you gonna get? I want that Maserati. Well, do you have the money? Yeah, $500, man. And so what did they do? They settle down and get a car and they drive it off the parking lot looking cool. And then all of a sudden the engine falls off because they didn't really ask their parents or their father to be involved because they wanted to take that initiative on their own to be the man. And I want you to know, guys, you young men, you should take that initiative. But here's the key. You still need to be guided by a person who's experienced. That's why the older men, if you men aren't showing where you're gaining your wisdom, most of the young men, if they don't see it in our lives, will not seek you out. They won't. They're going to seek their friends. The friends that had experience, even though they had a bad experience, hey, you know what? I'm going to follow that guy, man. He's so cool. He's only 3 months older than me, and he bought a car. So he's cool. Impulsive. Not only that, but they're indulgent. Mike Tyson, during the time when he was fighting, he made $400 million. Do you know today his house is completely repossessed? And he is no longer, he's very poor. And you know why? Because he gave his monies. He wanted to give his friends all these great things. Go out and have a good time. Buy things. They're just doing it to be cool, but they're very overly generous because of the money. That's why, I don't know if you guys hear these stories about people who actually have won the lotto. Millions upon millions, to find out a few years later, they're dirt poor because they didn't know how to handle money. Young men, young women, you need to be guided. Again, men, if you're not doing this and they're not seeing it in your home, they're going to go look for other things. They're also, young men are volatile, likely to change in very sudden and extreme ways. Very emotional. Some men are still that, but they're very emotional. Have you ever seen those? I'm talking to the young men. Have you guys ever seen being very emotional, hot-headed? And you guys, oh, I want it my way. You didn't say that loud, but what? The way you react to this. Men, you tend to be that way. You young men, you young women are tend to be like that. Your reaction is, I want it. I don't care what everybody else, I want it. And so that young men are encouraged that those inexperienced part, the experience, you must hear them. But again, men, if they see that we're the same, they're likely not what? They're not likely to come to us. Here's the other part. I think this is probably a phase that some men are successful and some are not. Arrogance. Have you ever seen arrogance? You can't tell me anything because they already know everything. Especially girls. Guys, now I know my daughter and I love my relationship with her. I do. I will never trade anything. I know her and I fight, but I love that. And I'm talking about arguing back and forth. But there is one thing I know, girls. I know guys. And you girls, you guys, you should seek out girls that know guys. You should ask and find out what kind of guy is a great guy. But you know what? Men, if we're portraying that, our young women would see great guys. Arrogance. See, young men think they believe that they know everything. And like I said, I use that example. The young men use their sheer power to try to solve a problem rather than using their sheer brain to solve a problem. And that's why it's important. And I'm going to conclude with a few things here. I'm going to use the word mentor. Mentoring is an important part of life. And I'm going to speak to the ones who have kids right now. By very product of you having a child, you already became a mentor. You can't go in and say, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to give it to Pastor Ed. You know, I think he's better than me. I think he can portray this stuff better than I can. So I'm going to give that responsibility to him. Guess what? By the time you call him, he's probably calling on the phone and you got, and I'm going to use this word, sorry, all hell is already broken loose. There's no way of stopping it. So men, you need to be a mentor to your children, to your kids, especially to your young men. Women, you got to be a mentor to your daughters as they see what it is a father should look like. Number one, M. If you go, make this a mental note into your brain. And it's exactly what I just said. Make an impression. Older believers are to set an example. Can I ask you guys this? And you don't have to raise your hand. But did you know that you, by again, I guess I've already laid the framework on this. But do you want to take that responsibility? Did you know that you're supposed to be responsible, men and women, that you are going to be an example? Do you know that? By default, you know that you're going to be one, right? Or are you telling me, no, I don't want to be, excuse me, I don't want to do it. I just want to bring children into the world, but I don't want to be somehow responsible for them. How many of you wish you could do that? Can I tell you honestly, if you're going to do that, don't get married. But number two, even though you're not married, by default, some of these kids are looking at you. They are. That's why when you mimic, when they're doing things, and I always wonder where parents get this, because I've accepted it, when they say, the kids do bad things, that's your father in you, man. Or the vice versa, that's the mother in you. But they never say, no, that's you in that kid. And he says that all the time. He goes, man, your eyes, it's your father. And it's true, because I've seen it. And so we got to ask ourselves this question. Make an impression. E, exhibit good works. Our deeds must reflect good works. That means you got to be an example. So I'm going to ask you again, something like a to-do list. So it's no longer something, oh, I'm Pastor Lucian, you said something. No, do a to-do list. Maybe I'm going to ask you guys and put you guys on the spot. Adi was going like, no, man, you can't hide. I'm right here. Okay. Name me some things that you know that are good. And you know, I'm not talking about that you're exercising in your life. What would you want your kids to learn? I'm asking this as a question that you could share. What good things would you want your kids to learn? What? Okay, handle finance. What else?
Love God.
What else?
Honesty.
Go ahead, Carter.
Honesty.
Honesty. Such a... No. Okay, honesty. And so, let me ask you kids, what is your response? If you see that, what would your response be? Exhibit good work. M-E-N. Nurture integrity. You guys know what that means? Thank you. Who you are when no one's looking. Who you are when you... You know, there's so many great stories about these... There's this one recently I just read... I saw in Dallas news. This lady, I guess she had found... And they found walking around this certain area... Multiple diamonds. But this one particular diamond was about this big. And it was 8.5 character, flawless. And here's what she said. Finders keepers. And she said, I'm not giving it up. Now, there are other stories where you hear people who lost in the taxi cab and they had thousands upon thousands of dollars and people return. Integrity. Nurture integrity. Take T. M-E-N-T. Take life seriously. And what do you mean by that? We must be able to assist or help the young men to sort out truth versus to trivial things. I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to ask the young men, or the young kids, or the young adults. And I'm sorry, Joy, young adults. I'm just kidding. You're in a trance right now with me. What are some of the things that you feel are trivial? What are some of the things? Do you know what trivial means?
Yeah. I just didn't hear.
No, I'm first. I want to make sure. Trivial. So what does it mean? What? Okay, so go ahead and give me an example. Oh, no, that's... What's that? Something that's not important is that it's trivial to you. So, some people, what's not important to you guys right now? Some of you guys, let me see what's important. Some of you, most important is being cool. I want to really look cool in front of my friends. Even to the point where I'm willing to compromise my belief for it. So you made the Bible trivial because something else is more important. Take life seriously. Men and ladies, you must teach your young women and young men to take life seriously because guess what? What's the most important thing? What's the most important thing? And that is going to heaven and being with God, and getting all of your families to heaven, and being with God. But what are you investing on? Is that going to be important towards eternity? Let me just kind of close that up. That's why during the time when Jesus was here, when the Pharisees were asking him some questions, they couldn't understand him. Because you know why? He was talking about heavenly things. And the Pharisees were invested on the earthly things. So those are two opposing thoughts. Christ is trying to push us up to spiritual things, but we're still here in the material world. And so all our investment are in the material world because we can grasp it, we can touch it, we can see it, we can smell it. And so the spiritual world, which we don't see, we don't really put any investment in it because, well, you know, I'm saved. I don't really need to do anything, do I? I trusted Jesus. Isn't that all I need to do? Men, women, take life seriously. Oh, observe your words. Oh, man, this one is a real kicker for me. Observe my words. If we were to record you for a whole week, what would they hear? If your words were exposed right here, and they were writing it up, and everybody was reading your words, what would they see? Would they see a person who's up here leading glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord? Or me, when I'm teaching your word, and you see my words in it, and then automatically in your mind, man, what is he doing? Can't even, what is he teaching? If he's not being even living it. Observe your words. And lastly, resist opposition. Must be able to help the young men when facing opposition. Encourage them to walk their talk. Remember the analogy? And I'm going to close with one song. John, if you could prep it up. Remember the analogy that I told you about four by 100, they would run and they would pass the baton. And that analogy that once the person is finished passing the baton, the guy just doesn't come over here and says, okay, I'm done. No, he's actually saying, go on, man. We're behind you. We're going to encourage you. Keep living for the faith. Keep going. We know how hard it's going to be. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be alone. But don't worry. You're not alone. I am here. I just want you to know that I'm going to be there with you. I've gone through it already. I'm going to tell you, everybody's going to tell you, you're making a mistake. Don't follow Jesus. All of those words, they're going to try to get you derailed. But that guy behind you who just passed the baton, keep going, man, keep going. But you know what? I just want you to know two things. There are some kids today, I want you to hear this, young men, who don't have the fathers right now with you. You have a choice. You have a choice to follow your path that has already been delivered in front of you. Or you're going to take that baton and run and change the course of your family. See, everybody has a choice. But if you're going to let the choice of somebody dropping the baton and saying, no way, this guy was my image of what a father or a mother is going to be, and he didn't pass it to me, it's still on the floor, and I'm looking at it, you have a choice to pick it up and run, because your kids are going to be dependent on your opportunity to move forward. So I'm going to ask this song. I want you to hear this. Ladies, while it's specifically for the men, I think it's a great song for everyone. How many of you guys ever heard the call, Cats in the Cradle? I want you to hear this. Let me close it. Teaching. What did we teach? Let me just summarize real quick. Teaching is not preaching. It is mimicking and demonstrating good, sound, doctrinal teaching from the Word of God. Model it. There are three principles. You are taught, you get caught, and you're bought. Young men, acknowledge that you're not all it. That you need some guidance from men who've experienced the same scenarios. And men, if they don't see it in our lives, they will go somewhere else. And I want you to know, this song is exactly that story. It's called Cats in the Cradle. And then I'm going to have the worship team once this is finished. Can you put the words up? Okay.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad, you know I'm gonna be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, you know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today, I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And then he walked away, but his smile never dimmed and said, I'm gonna be like him, yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, you know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you, can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad, you know we'll have a good time then. I've long since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time then.
Whatever you sow, you will also reap. Did you hear that? Whatever you sow today, you're going to reap it. So don't expect your children, young men, young women, to all of a sudden turn the key because you want their relationship. Today's the time. You need to mentor them. You need to be a part of their lives. Can I just speak real quick to the young men and young women? Honestly, I want you to know, if you were to listen and talk to your parents, and I want you to do this, I do. I know Rebecca knows my history, but I want you to talk to them and find out what their history was. And I told you Rebecca's line of history, and that line of history, there was a divorce that had happened. And because of that divorce, I could see a path of one was Tina, my niece, divorce. And I could see her, my grandniece, as I look at her and she's working. And you know what? Somebody stepped up into her life. And it's called Rebecca's birth mom, who came to know Jesus. And because she came to know Jesus, she asked, and I'm going to tell you her name, Kayla. Kayla came into her, and I'm not talking, Kayla came into their lives. And Kayla came in there, and she started to teach her financial things, and she's becoming responsible. And as I was thinking about that, because the Rebecca's birth mom, Tammy, I was talking to her the very first time, and I told her a long time ago, I said, Tammy, if you don't think you could carry Rebecca, we're willing to be here with you. But by the way, I want to know, can I teach you how finance works? And as I transferred that knowledge to her, she came back. And remember, I said, Uncle Lucian, remember when you shared that with me and taught me? I'm teaching that now to Kayla, whose path was through her, my niece. I mean, Tammy and Tina are sisters. Tina divorced. And I was looking at this young woman. I said, who is going to step up in front of this young woman? Because I can see written in her stone, written in her life, unless she picks up the baton, divorce is going to happen. But somebody willingly did it. And I want you to know, you guys got to do it. Whatever you reap, whatever you sow, you will also reap. So let me ask the team to come up and lead us in a worship song, final song. Today, it's about parents. And I know I've talked about that a lot, but I want you to know that you, the very first thing you must do, husband and wife, or husband alone and wife alone, what you must do is get back to His Word. You have to. There is no subliminal. There is no, and let me just tell you this, there is no osmosis theory out there that you're going to absorb God's Word by just depending on someone else. You must be, like what God's Word says, you must be teachers of the Word to your children. If you don't do it today, when they grow up, don't expect anything different. What song are you guys singing?
She's singing a Revelation song.
Revelation song. Worthy is our God. Let's all stand as we sing.
Worthy is our Lamb who was slain, worthy, holy is He. See the song to Him who sits on heaven's birth to see. Sing holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and needs and needs to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is
just says, you are my everything. And that's a response. We just been taught. Teaching God's word is living it in front of our young men, young women. Decisions are, we've already covered all of those. Integrity. Living life in front of them by reading His word and doing it. And the outcome of that, which I just forgot to say, but there will be nothing said bad about you. More important, nothing will be said bad about our God. Right now, what kind of words are you saying? And what will those people say in response to that? So I want to encourage you. I'm going to just pray over to the parents. And I just want you to step in faith with me, parents. This will not happen unless you really see the value. And I'm telling you, you will have to see the value of it when you see your children. When you pass that baton, and you pass that baton, is Christ to them, and they come to know Christ, and they see it, and you see your children's children following Jesus. That's the baton. Investment. You got to do it now. Don't wait tomorrow. Don't wait until they go to college. Don't wait until, like that song, I'm going to be like you, Dad. I'm just going to be like you. So I'm going to pray for the parents right now. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Father, we know we have a very difficult task ahead of us as parents. We battle with things that we can't even understand. When our kids go off to school, they are infiltrated with friends, with education that totally goes against what we have been taught, what we live. And Father, they are really torn apart between what is right and what is wrong. Because sometimes, Father, when they see it in us, they can't even, they're confused. And they don't understand it. Because they come to Sunday, they see us wanting them to bring on Sunday. They see us wanting to bring them to a Bible study. And we see them going through all these activities that are church related. But when they don't see is they don't see Jesus. They don't see the time when we spend time in the Word. They don't see when we're down on our knees praying. They don't see where our lives are being changed by the Word. And I know we're busy, Father. We have made whatever our excuses our excuse for not spending time with you. In fact, Father, I don't even know if what that is for everyone in this room, but today, Father, I am asking you that you would touch the hearts of the people today, the people who truly believe you, the people who says, I know Jesus is so important to me. I want my kids to see it too. I want my kids' kids to see it. I want them to see that Jesus is really living in my life. I'm not just talking about it. I'm not just saying the right words to make them hear the word of God, but they're going to see it in my life. And so I pray, Father, that today in this very room, you know where they are all at. And so I pray that today, Father, that they would step forward and make a commitment, that as they make this commitment, that they would take the time and break away from the things that are hampering them from doing it. And if it means the TV, and it means saying my relaxation, or it's spending my time, Father, I pray that they may see Jesus, that they may read your word, and that that word of God, Father, would transform them, that so that the children will see that Jesus is in them. And Father, we know this is kind of one of those things that are ups and downs. We stumble. We fall. But you already know we're going to do that. And so I love it, Father, that you would pick us up. Bring us back. Brush off the dust from our knees and come to you again, Lord. We're failing, Lord. I'm failing. And that's, Lord, help me. Give me the opportunity. Give me the boldness to read your word. Give me the desire, Father, to read your word. And help me. And that's what I ask, Father, that you would do this in this group. Because if we do that, Father, I believe you will bless this ministry. The people will want to long for that. Today, Father, they long for their children to live for you as they have lived for you. And so, Father, I give you, I lift the men. Will you give them confidence, Father, that it is okay to fail? But we continue on, Father. And I pray that you would encourage us. Father, I pray for the women. That when their husband is failing, that they don't go and say, see, Lord, help them to pray for them. Encourage them. Build them up, Father. Help them to be their cheerleader for you. It's our desire to be walking with you, Jesus. To get to know you better so that people would see Jesus in us. Father, I pray for the women. You know, we didn't touch about that, but I saw that they themselves, Father, I pray that you would say, Lord, help them to long for you, to teach them. And Lord, we know we can also make these statements that, no, I'm not a teacher. No, you are a teacher, Father. We know that we've been given the responsibilities as parents to teach our children the most important things, the things that are spiritual, not the things of this earth, because we know the things of this earth is temporary. Father, give us the Spirit, prick our hearts. Make you alive in our lives. I'm going to ask Pastor Ed to come here. And I'm going to ask the young people to come up here. All the young people who are going on a mission trip to come up here. And what I'm going to ask him is to lead us in prayer. And then what we're going to do after that is we're going to do a short announcements. And then we're done.
So the youth, where's Andrea? Oh, she's teaching. Oh yeah, the not so young, please be seated. The young people here, we, the young people will remain standing. And
okay. Can you guys move over towards this way?
Yeah.
And then Ed, before. before we actually, I asked Pastor Ed to do this, there's a video, just as a reminder of what we are, as a group, we're going through. So I'm going to pop it up here, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Ed to move on. In this scrim time, you guys don't want to close. All the...
Squeezing, there you go.
Okay, all the shorter people up in the front. Okay, the not so tall.
Welcome to Week of Hope. Designed by Group Mission Trips as a one-week summer missions experience in which your group will be immersed in a Jesus-centered lifestyle, meeting the needs of people in cities like this all around America. Throughout the week, the students in your group will have the opportunity to share the love of Christ through practical acts of service. It's not all about the things that your students will do for people. It's simply about the time they'll spend with them.
We are a military family, and my husband was deployed to Afghanistan. My kids, it was a nightmare to them to lose their father and have a parent, to be a mom and a dad. It was so difficult because they wanted dad there. And I did a lot of work here, being a widow and not having any male here to help out. Lorna told me about the Week of Hope. They have been such a tremendous help. Just knowing that I have an extra hand to help me out, it means a lot to me. It really does.
One week where your students get to change the lives of others and experience incredible personal transformation in the process. Join us for Week of Hope.
Thank you. Amen.
All right, so, you know, Sister Leia handed this to me. And it confirms what I have in my heart, because I wanted to really say something with regards to the mission trip. But let me just read this. This is a commissioning service for the youth. And participants just respond, with the help of God, we will. Amen. So, friends, you are called by God to serve others and to live out your faith in the community you're serving in. Will you work at discerning and developing the gifts God had given you so that you can be faithful to your calling, trusting God to guide you and equip you as you serve Him?
With the help of God, you will.
Amen. Will you be a co-worker with God, seeking to transform the Austin community area around that, so that God's kingdom is restored and everyone in that community benefits? Sounds like we're in a Catholic church, right? Will you do your best to help the people you serve discover the wonders of God?
With the help of God, you will.
Will you strive to show the love of God to everyone, to work sensitively alongside those you serve, and to serve God through your relationship with them?
With the help of God, you will.
And may I invite all the congregation to please stand. Everyone, please stand. As the body of Christ, we are called to support our brothers and sisters as they serve God. People of God, will you pray for these youth and adults, and will you support and encourage them through words and deeds? With the help of God, we will. Let us pray for them. But before we pray, I want to just remind the youth, you know, Christ said in His word, when I'm sick, when you visit me, the people who are sick, when you visit those people who are sick, you're just like visiting Christ, right? I don't know what you guys will be doing there. JR said to be working with the elderly children, or elderlies and children. Yeah. So with the elderlies and children, and probably you'll be building some houses for the people who are in need, right? I just want to remind you that as you work, don't think that Pastor Lucian is there, that's why you're doing it. Think as if you're working for the Lord. Amen. And always think that you're doing this before when you were attending camps. You have been always been served. But this time around, it's a life-changing mission. You are the ones who will be serving. Amen. Let us pray. Let us all extend our hands to these youth and adults who will be going with them. Father God, we just lift this group unto you, Lord God. As they minister to the people in Austin, we pray, Lord God, that their travel will be safe and smooth. We pray, Lord God, for the drivers. Lord, take hold of the wheel, oh God. Make them alert, oh Lord God, and clear the path, Lord. And we pray for these people, Lord God, who will be working. Keep them safe. Lord, once again, comfort them. Give them peace. Use them, Lord God,
yes,
as an instrument of your love, of your compassion, of your care, oh God. That those people who are in those communities will see the love that comes from you. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, that you have given to these people, Lord God, to serve you. To serve you, Lord God, willingly and with all sincerity, Lord God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, a couple things. Announcement. Number one, those who still need to reimburse for this trip, meet with Sister Emily immediately. She's our bouncer. Just kidding. No, actually, John is, so he was just practicing there. July 4th. Emily, it's at Cottonwood, right? Yeah, it's going to be in Cottonwood.
It's in Wood.
Yeah, Pastor Ed says Preston Wood. No, it's in Cottonwood, which is in 121. I think they're going to be a tailgate.
Yes.
Tailgate. Do you guys know what tailgate is? For those who know how to eat, that means basically you have a grill right behind your car. Don't turn your engine on, okay? Okay, number one. Number two, birthday. So it's the Ron, birthday this month? No, but it's this month, right? Yeah, we're going to have our birthday this month. Marietta, up here, enjoy, right? Joy, huh? Kai Kai also. Who else is up there? Ed? Joy? Kai? Ready? Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Praise you for these celebrants. Thank you for allowing us to have this time with them. And so, brother, for the next year, continue to bless them, both physically, spiritually, Lord. Help them to grow closer to you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen.
You are dismissed.
Give it all now. We are found in the love of the Savior.
sold out.
We are sold out to your calling. Everything that we are for your glory. Take our hearts down, have it all now. Let a light shine a light like a